because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to Last Man Standing on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your guest host, Jeremy Oldhamadan, an Irishman currently residing in Kentucky, filling in for your favorite Irishman from the UK, Paul Oda Stevenson. He's on a bit of a holiday tonight after coming back from Mark Collett's conference. I have with me my trusty co-host. You'll know him from National Bugle Radio and RBN, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Central. He's an Irishman himself. The two-fisted, true lalula-lula heart of gold, Patrick Oda Slattery. Patrick, welcome to the show. How the hell are you, man? Patrick, are you there? Patrick, you got the boom of mute going on.
Lula. Ooh la lula lula.
Well, I wanted to give the audience that feel of a real Irishman introducing the show.
Yeah, real Irishman. Hey, but Paul's not the last man standing. You know why?
Why's that?
Because we're still standing.
That's right, my friend.
Go.
But all of us are.
Sooner or later, he might, but not yet.
All of us at RBN are still standing, too, so please go to Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Send the fundage that you know needs to be sent to keep free speech alive. And let's keep this going so we have great broadcasts like this. Yeah, man, it's been great to have Paul on Sunday nights. And it's been a couple of months, I guess. And the more voices of truth we have out there, the better. I've really enjoyed his shows.
Absolutely. And he will be on my show this coming Friday, or is it Thursday? We already set it up, and he'll have lots to talk about, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We got lots to talk about tonight. Before we get ankles and knee-deep into the political content, today is October 31st, All Hallows Eve. What do you know about that, guy?
Well, I dressed up as Cornholio.
You did? Teepee?
Well, I forgot a costume, so I just pulled my t-shirt up over my head and started talking about Corn Puff.
Well, as many other
corn pop, there we go.
I mean, Halloween is a pagan holiday, so for all you Christians out there, it is a pagan holiday. It's actually been described as satanic, actually. All Hallows Eve, and it's the night before All Saints Day, which I guess is November 1st, and the Mexicans, I guess, do this thing about the Day of the Dead on November 1st, so there's a lot of stuff going on October 31 through November 1.
Yeah.
Lots of festivals, but particularly Halloween was based on the Gaelic festival Samhain. Have you ever heard of Samhain?
No, I have not.
We talk about Gaelic since we're all Irishmen here. You know, Paul is, and you've got some Irish in you. I'm full-blooded Irish. It's just that my family's been in America for hundreds of years, but I still have the Irish accent. I have to fake the American accent. That Irish accent is real, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Samhain is a Gaelic festival that marks the end of the harvest season, and it marks the beginning of winter. And I mean, legit. You know, we do daylight savings time. I think that's next weekend where we fall back. And it gets dark a little bit earlier. So, like, in theory, I guess all of the farmers are getting complete with the harvest, and they don't have to work 12 hours a day. They can kind of take a rest, and the days get shorter. So that's sort of where Psalm Hain, and that's spelled, if you want to look it up, S-A-M-H-A-I-N. It's about halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. It's 4 quarter days associated with Gaelic seasonal festivals. It's celebrated in Ireland, Scotland, and the Isle of Man. You have similar festivals held by Brittonic peoples. But anyway, basically, it's the time when the veil between the living and the dead is the thinnest. And so these people believed, my tree-worshipping pagan ancestors before the 4th century believed that the dead could actually pass over. And so they would try to trick the dead on this particular day of Samhain, by dressing up as ghouls and ghosts, dressing up as the dead. They would have carved pumpkins or jack-o'-lanterns. Originally, by the way, it was a carved turnip. It wasn't a pumpkin originally. The pumpkin is like a more European and Americanized thing. They would carve a turnip with a scary face in it and put a candle in it to like show the dead, like, hey, we're friendly, don't attack us. And then they would also have bonfires. And I guess originally they would burn like the bones of the dead in honor of the dead, and families would gather. It's total pagan, but it sort of got Americanized, you know, a couple of hundred years ago, and that's where you get the tradition of children dressing up as ghoulish creatures. In current year, I guess they dress up like, when I was a kid, it was Michael Myers and Jason from Friday the 13th. Now there's like even more characters that I don't know of, but kids will dress up and go get candy. You know, when I was a kid in the 80s, I mean, it wasn't a satanic ritual. It was just something fun that we did. And we didn't think about it like that. But that's actually the roots of the holiday.
Well, and you know that the Anti-Defamation League has advised us on how to dress up and be culturally sensitive and not culturally appropriate or perpetuate gender roles.
So we shouldn't dress up as scary trannies and faggots?
That's okay. We shouldn't dress up like what? Like a witch, because women are witches, or I stuff like that. But I think that we can give them, we should give our friends at the ADL some advice on what they should, how Jewish kids should dress up on Purim and what they should and shouldn't do.
Oh, yes, Purim, the celebration of the destruction of the Persians.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's entirely culturally insensitive to eat the ears of, what's his name?
Haman.
Yeah, Haman's ears, because you're culturally appropriating from the Persians, and B, you're mimicking some sort of weird cannibalism.
Well, I could go along with that. But no, I mean, is there really like this whole, has the whole wokeness got into Halloween? Is there costumes that are not allowed? Could I dress up as a merchant and like go out and like hand out loans to the Goyim?
As long as you're not happy.
At any rate,
I was planning to do some sort of Boomer Vision, where Boomer Man, he tells the ADL that for Purim, the only culturally appropriate costume for the kids is a Happy Merchant. Everything else would be inappropriate. I'm still working on that.
Well, I mean, you know, we got Halloween like all year long in some of these schools where these boys are dressing up like girls and going in the girls' restroom and raping girls.
You know, that it's really gone far. because even Andrew Anglin, when he was when this whole thing started, and he was telling boys to just I'm sorry, but he was saying boys should just say their girls, go into the girls' locker room and jack off at girls. Those are his words, not mine. I don't even know what that means. But that's Andrew Anglin being funny. But this is like Jewish supremacy being serious, and they've got the trannies in the bathrooms raping girls. Okay, actually raping them, not just jacking off at them.
Well, I mean, we joke. You know, we joke because if we don't joke, we'll start crying because it's so horrible. But I mean, that, you know, the system is actually turning back on itself. And, you know, and I covered it last week. I know you're familiar. The young boy tranny, the teen boy tranny that put a dress on, went into the girls' bathroom. I think it was Virginia, in a Virginia school.
Yeah, Loudoun County, I believe.
Loudoun County raped that young girl. I mean, this is how the system turns on itself. You know, in the same way that you have boys dressing up as girls and dominating sports in female sports, now you have boys saying they're girls and raping women. I mean, isn't this the opposite of feminist liberation? Isn't this the opposite of what they want? So you see the system actually like eating itself, like actually falling in and collapsing.
Well, there are so many internal contradictions in this.
Yeah.
In their coalition.
So I'm not saying that it's a good thing for boys to go in girls' restrooms and rape girls. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's a good thing that boys dress up as girls and beat the living crap out of girls in sports. What I'm saying is that this is what they wanted, and they're getting, you know, this is what we expected them to get. And I hope that this wakes people up to the total, you know, ludicrousy of the system.
Because if they don't wake up now, I mean, honestly, it's like daylight savings time's about to end, and I don't know what that has to do with anything, but there's not much time left is what I mean to get at. Because things, I mean, I look around, and I think that the American nation is on life support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, well, and
like in a coma.
Even though as a Christian, I can point out how pagan Halloween is and how you shouldn't support it really if you're a Christian. I can point that out. That, like, little kids dressing up as demons, that pales in comparison to boys putting on skirts and raping girls in bathrooms. That pales in comparison to the total satanic paganism that we see in the culture today. You know, doesn't even compare. I guess that's where I was going with the whole comparison.
Yeah, I dressed up as the devil once, I remember. But I also dressed up as Underdog. I don't think that's so... right? Underdog.
Well, so there's our commentary on Halloween on your October 31st. Let's move on to politics. We've got the Charlottesville trials going on, jury selections, and if you've been following this, they're trying to select a jury. Okay, so it's not a criminal case, but there's a case going on in Charlottesville where some of the defendants are like Richard Spencer and Chris Cantwell and the dude that organized the Charlottesville rally. They're being sued, not on a criminal level, but they're being sued financially for damages that, you know, the system claims that they brought to people by bringing in so-called neo-Nazis and white supremacists into Charlottesville. And so the jury selection went on in the last week or week and a half. And if I understand right, like out of over 500 jurists, like 146 of them had to be dismissed because these jurists said, we don't want to be a jurist because we're afraid for our life. We're afraid that whatever verdict, we declare that Antifa could attack us. That's literally what they said. Have you heard this? Have you kept abreast of this case?
Not so much the case. I mean, I'm aware it's going forward. So Jason Kessler, of course, has been on the National Bugle Radio a few times, and you know, I don't know him particularly well, but as far as I can tell, he did absolutely nothing wrong. You know, you can go back and critique what happened at Charlottesville, and you know, it's important to learn from certain mistakes. But everybody had really the best of intentions. I don't know anybody who went there seeking violence. It was everybody went there to try to assert our First Amendment right to freedom of speech and freedom to petition our government to address our grievances. This is what
they had a permit.
They had a permit. Everything was done legally, and you know, you can get into critiques, but this isn't the time for the critiques. And you know, one of the another defendant is Richard Spencer, who has been on also. He's been on National Bugle at least, I think, only once, maybe twice. And you know, you can say certain things about Richard Spencer and you know, whatever, but he was there trying to defend the rights of the American nation, the nation that built when I say the nation, it's the you know, white European Christians who built this country, who are now just under this massive attack. What is it? John Derbyshire, is that his name? He was writing in the UNCE Review, and I think he referred to the American nation, the white Christians, specifically whites in America, as being in the grips of ethnomasochism. And, you know, these people, they were there with the best of intentions.
Well, it throws me, and maybe other people too, in a bit of a conundrum. I mean, I don't like Richard Spencer. Mm-hmm. I don't like the direction that he's taken. I did not, absolutely did not like the direction he took on the last appearance on Mark Collett's show. Mm-hmm. And I don't like Chris Cantwell. Chris Cantwell, also known as the crying Nazi, spilled his guts to the feds. He doxed a lot of people. So I don't like these people on a personal level. However, there is a conflict. There's a conflict in my soul here, because I understand that this civil case being brought against them is not just about them. It's not just about Richard Spencer the man, or Kessler the man, or Cantwell the man. This is about a precedent that they're trying to set in going after these men on civil lawsuits. This is about, like, can you protest? Can you exercise your First Amendment right and protest in America on any grounds? Or can that be shut down for arbitrary reasons? And in this case, if it's perceived that you've hurt people's feelings because of your racism, therefore your First Amendment doesn't exist. That's the precedent that's being set here. You know what I'm saying? So regardless of what you think of the man, Cantwell, of Spencer or Kessler, and they may be all right, or they may be total dirtbags. I don't know. I don't like them, but there's a precedent being fought for here in this case. So that's something we got to take in consideration as we watch this go forward. Got just a couple of seconds before the break. You got a couple of comments when we come back.
Well, okay. So I mean, here's one thing, and I think this is something could agree on, that post Charlottesville, with all of the pressure that was on these people, at least I'm not saying anything about Jason, but the other two, part of their downfall was under the duress of
it's so much bigger
Yo, hey,
than me. It's screaming out.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Okay, we're back. Back to Last Man Standing, your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky and Patrick Slattery. Patrick, you were interrupted in the break. Go ahead and finish your thought there, and then we'll get on to the roles of Kessler and Spencer in this.
Okay, so I think that the things that you were mentioning about not Kessler but Richard Spencer and Chris Cantwell, to a large extent, this was them. The negative behavior was them in the pressure of post Charlottesville, where they're being imprisoned or sued for everything they have, and obviously doxing other people to the extent Chris Cantwell did that, and I really don't know the details of it. That's not something that you can take lightly, but it was certainly under duress. They were both under duress, and maybe the duress reveals character flaws. As far as I know, Jason Kessler was, I as far as I can tell, he was, he was very young, and he got the permit, and because it looked like such a great place to stage a big event, big people like people who were much more prominent, like Richard Spencer and others, came in, and the event got to be too big for something that a 27-year-old kid was going to be able to manage, because there were too many bigger names involved, you know, who weren't going to be following the leadership of the 27-year-old local kid. So I don't know anything particularly negative about the behavior of Jason Kessler. That's all I had to say.
The only reason I mention that is there's talk in the alt-right forums. You know how people are. I mean, the result of Charlottesville was mass censoring. Anglin's domain was stolen. Even Stormfront, they tried to steal that.
They did steal it. They stole it.
They did. They stole it. Don's, you know, seemed to jump back from that, bounce back from that stealing.
He got it back after, what, 6 weeks or something? He managed to get it back?
And so I guess what I'm saying is that people on the alt-right will look at the results of Charlottesville and say, oh, well, obviously everybody involved intended this to happen. Now I'm not going to go there. But where I will go is that I completely and 100% disagree with anybody that doxes anyone else. Mm. And that's what Cantwell did. And so I disagree with that. And I disagree with Richard Spencer's platform as of the last couple of years. He's went totally off the rails. But what I'm trying to bring to light here is that it's not about these men per se. It's about the whole freedom of speech. Do we have the right to assemble as people did at Charlottesville and protest the removing of statues, government coming down on our rights? I mean, you know, you could even put the coronavirus protests in with this. Do we have the right to do that? That could all be decided by this civil case, in which, you know, these men are being sued, and they're trying. The system is trying to set a precedent that if Charlottesville can be considered an illegitimate protest, if it can be considered violating the rights of other Americans, then you can set a precedent that we are no longer allowed to protest on these grounds, and that's dangerous. And so I think we have to, in the 30,000-foot view of things, we have to support these men, reluctantly, if necessary, in hoping that they come out on top. I guess that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Spencer's last appearance on Mark Collett's show, and that was actually, I was still on the show at the time. And he tried to do kind of a high school getcha at me. I'm not going to repeat it, but it completely backfired on him, and he apologized profusely. But that's, I don't know. Richard Spencer was somebody who could garner resources. He put on some good conferences that brought a lot of people together, and conferences are important. And he seemed to be going in the direction of putting together a think tank, like a policy think tank that could put out you know, policy proposals. He called it the National Policy Institute, and that we have a need for something like that, and that's what I was hoping he would develop into. But, you know, he got onto this, like, national circuit, like, speaking at universities and being a provocateur. And things haven't turned out, well, let's just say, whatever potential he had certainly didn't get realized. But just like you said, regardless of Chris Cantwell, and, like, I'm not an expert in Chris Cantwell, you know, if he was doxing people, obviously that's inexcusable. But regardless of all that, just like you said, this trial is going to have massive implications for freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition the government to redress grievances.
Let's cover this on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Your guest hosts, Jeremy from Kentucky and Patrick over Slattery. Call in if you want to weigh in on the topics, 512-248-8252. And Patrick, I sent you this Buzz News, this BuzzFeedNews.com article, and it reads, headline reads, "White supremacists use racist slurs and cursed in a bizarre opening statement for the Charlottesville trial." They contrasted greatly with the attorneys for the Unite the Right survivors, who carefully laid out for the jury how they plan to prove a conspiracy to commit racially motivated violence. This is all written by Christopher Miller. All right. Charlottesville, Virginia. The neo-Nazi shock jock, Christopher Cantwell, spoke to the courtroom microphone. He said, "Check, check, check." He was wearing a blue suit, a blue shirt, I'm sorry, without a tie or a jacket, and he proceeded to name check Mein Kampf. He dropped the N-word and plugged his far-right radio program, calling himself good-looking and a professional artist, and blasted anti-fascist activists in a matter of minutes. So, yeah. I saw this. Cantwell got up there and just went full out, total neo-Nazi, and said the word, quote-unquote, nigger. He said that word. when we said the N-word. And he quoted Mein Kampf. And so this is a jury trial. And I'm trying to figure out what his motivations were here. And the only thing that I can figure is that, you know, in a jury trial, you're trying to win the hearts and minds of the jury. And so you want to do and say things that are memorable to the jury. They're not exactly won over by facts and logic, but actually how you present yourself. So he's presenting himself as alpha male and overtly fascist, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it was a great strategy, but maybe I'm wrong. Richard Spencer also presented a pretty harsh statement, and the judge had to shut him down. This is Judge Moon. He's like ancient. Judge Moon is very ancient. And so as we pointed out, I mean, this isn't a trial about these men per se, but it is a trial about our free speech and our ability to, assemble and protest the government. And so this is going to have long-lasting ramifications. So we're sort of put in a bad position where even if we don't agree with these men and their tactics, we almost have to support this.
Well,
in the overall. Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, so Cantwell, I like I said, I've never spoken to him, and I only listened to his radio show, like part of one of his radio shows once, and I really didn't like it. I did hear Mike Enoch interview him a few times while he was in a Charlottesville jail, but I don't find him a particularly appealing person. I'm not here to throw him under the bus, but given what you just said, and given that, you know, he's got this history of cooperating with the feds and doxing people, it would seem to me that he is intentionally trying to lose this case. He probably has some sort of deal. I don't know, but I would suppose he has some sort of deal where he's going to be fine, and his job is to throw the case so that you will have a conviction and it will set a precedent and destroy our First Amendment rights. As for Richard Spencer, I don't know about Richard Spencer. As far as I know, he really has been financially ruined, and I don't know what his testimony was like. I don't know. If Cantwell's going out there dropping the N bomb and quoting Mein Kampf and being as unappealing as possible, what other conclusion can you reach than he is intentionally throwing the case?
That's where I'm coming from, and it puts us in a bad position of, you know, do we support this or not? I don't know. Maybe we just sit back and let it play out and see how. But it's these three men, I mean, Cantwell, Spencer, and Jason Kessler, that's sort of being presented here. They are the face of our free speech, and that's kind of scary. That's really scary to me.
See, I'm not a law expert, a legal expert. I don't know if I know Ethan Ralph is somebody who really follows trials a lot. I don't know if he's following this at all, but I don't know if Jason Kessler, Richard Spencer, and Chris Cantwell are actually working together on this. So it could be Cantwell trying to throw the other two under the bus. I don't know.
Hard to tell, but I mean, if I were in Cantwell's position, I would not have come out with that statement. I would have come out with a statement sort of like this. I would have been like, look, we're Americans. We have a First Amendment right. And we had fully a First Amendment right to show up at Charlottesville with a permit and protest the removal of the Confederate statues. We had that right, and so what's on trial here is, you know, do we have the right to do this or not? And if you say no, then you're against the First Amendment. That's how I would have presented it. But I'm not Cantwell, and I'm not, you know, in league with the feds. No feds have ever investigated me, and if they did, I wouldn't give them anything. They can rot in hell. To hell with the feds. That's my position. But that's just me. And so, you know, I think he could have handled it better, and it almost does smack of subversion, you know, in my mind. But I'm not saying that definitively. We're just observing, and we're making observations based on what we can see from what's released in the media. But that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, just towards the end of this BuzzFeed article, the paragraph about Richard Spencer saying that, you know, he said he's representing himself because the lawsuit had financially crippled him, which I believe is the case. White nationalist Richard Spencer told the jury in his opening statement that he did not initiate the deadly violence that erupted in Charlottesville. And of course he didn't. It was Antifa and Professor, what's his name, Dwayne Dixon from UNC Chapel Hill, who initiated it. It certainly wasn't Richard Spencer. That he did not initiate the deadly violence. And he argued that because he didn't know many of the other defendants well and had not communicated with them much prior to August 2017, there could not have been a conspiracy. And I think that's exactly true. I think this was one of the raps against Richard Spencer, was he kind of hijacked it. That he didn't really coordinate with Jason Kessler. I don't think there was a lot of coordination there. But anyway, I don't know. I wasn't a rally participant. I wasn't a speaker. I didn't have anything to do with the organization, so I don't know.
And one thing that the case has for it, and we got a caller. I want to go into this caller as soon as we settle this point. One thing that the case has going for it is last year, America witnessed Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioting for St. George and burning and looting and doing violence. And so America's stomach is turned against Antifa and BLM. And America remembers that it was Antifa and BLM who came in and crashed this Charlottesville rally. And so that's the one thing they got going for them is public opinion. And that's why you had over 146 jurors dismissed, because they were afraid that Antifa would target them, would figure out where they live and work and target them if they gave the wrong verdict. And so this is a good thing. That's the white pill, I guess, that I'm putting out. Is that this trial may be exposing to all of America the treachery of Antifa. And I think everybody understands the shot here. And the shot is that if you are right wing, if you support American patriotism and white people, that you can be targeted by Antifa. Mm-hmm. And you're not allowed to rally. And when Antifa shuts it down, you'll be thrown in jail and not Antifa. That's, I think, what's being put on display here.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Well, we have...
Yeah, we got callers. Hey, let's go first to Dan. Dan from Washington, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, I had a friend from Norway, and it was Halloween, and he's like, what's this? And I was like, what do you mean, man? Because he was always talking about we were the Vikings and all this stuff. And he said, we don't have this here, where the kids dress up. And he thought it was a conspiracy by the candy companies that got together and created Halloween in America. But I think all ancient religions view the universe as a clock, which it is. You got the summer... summer solstice, the winter solstice, where the days are as long or as short, and then they, you know, and then you got the two equinoxes. So Halloween kind of coincides with the fall equinox. So I think all ancient peoples and religions would celebrate these four times a year, because they mark the changing of the seasons. So there's a good movie called Zeitgeist, which I like. You might not like it, Jeremy, but it's you know, Christianity was kind of superimposed on these ancient festivals and stuff. Like Easter kind of coincides with the spring equinox. You know, Christmas is the winter solstice.
I totally see that. Mm-hmm. No, I totally see that. I understand what you're saying. I mean, when the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholics, went into Europe, they replaced a lot of the pagan festivals with Christian ones. Like Christmas was the celebration of Sol Invictus on December 25th. And they replaced a lot of German festivals like Christmas. And then they did, you know, Halloween. The Christians did All Saints Day. And I think the Roman Catholic Church, which I see as corrupt, did come in and try to persuade the Europeans to come on board by giving them an alternative to their already existing pagan festivals. I don't know. What do you got on this, Patrick? You got something?
This is a type of thing that's gone on forever. It's going on today. I mean, Kwanzaa and really Hanukkah wasn't that significant of a holiday in the Jewish calendar, but Hanukkah and Kwanzaa are
every ancient people celebrated Kwanzaa. No, just kidding.
Yeah, no, they are on our calendar because Christmas is there, you know, so they're there to replace or compete or whatever with Christmas. That's why they're there at the time they are. And it's, you know, especially with Kwanzaa, it's not even a secret. It was an invented holiday and they just put it there. And it makes perfect sense, you know, politically or socially or whatever. And so if new Christian rulers in the Roman Empire are trying to establish Christianity as a state religion, which I guess that was Justinian who did that, then you would want to, rather than abolish the traditions, you would want to usurp the traditions, the existing traditions.
As you pointed out, Dan, there's a commercialization in current year and in the last several decades of, oh, well, let's go out and buy a bunch of costumes and candy. Let's buy a bunch of Christmas decorations. I mean, I'm already seeing Christmas trees in Lowe's, like way before Halloween ever started. And so there's the commercialization of that the usual tribal suspects, the Jews, push to make money. So yeah, they're making money off of this too.
Yep, and real quick, I'll let the other callers get on, but with Charlottesville, I think Jason Kessler is a really well-spoken, intelligent guy, and so is Richard Spencer. And we should support them because they do have a legal right to have a protest. And it's a good example of Jewish privilege because the guy that wrote Trump's speeches on immigration, actually went to school with Richard Spencer. Do you remember?
Yes.
His name?
Stephen Miller.
Yeah, Stephen Miller. So, and that guy's untouchable because he represents Jewish supremacy, you know, interests. And it shows you the contrast where he ends up running the country with the president. And then Richard Spencer, which basically says the same thing for white people. It really shows the contrast of Jewish privilege in America and the way people attack Richard Spencer, even Alex Jones, called him a false flag. He had this Jewish lady tried to steal his mom's house. I remember she was up there in Whitefish, Montana, basically going after his family.
And isn't that Roberta Kaplan? Isn't that but Roberta Kaplan is the woman who's prosecuted, who's brought this lawsuit. And wasn't she involved in that Whitefish stuff?
I don't know if she was involved. It was some Jewish lady that lives up there. It's it's pretty scary because, you know, I've been to Whitefish, Montana. You know, it's like the whitest, coldest, way out there place in the country. And they're operational there, too, you know. Like, there's no escape. But I don't know. She was probably working with Roberta Kaplan. I don't know if it was her, though. But, yeah, it's a pretty low blow. I mean, she basically blackmailed his mom and said, give us your house as, like, an apology or something. And so they had to go to court with there. You know, and then he got punched in the face, and he was basically the most hated guy in America. And then a lot of people like Alex Jones, you know, wouldn't support him. Alex Jones is so full of, that's when I lost respect for Alex Jones, because, you know, he was misrepresenting what he said and all this stuff. But, you know, I think he probably got his life threatened several times. So it's pretty tragic to me that, you know, he probably could have had a great potential. But, yeah, I mean, they're probably threatening to kill his whole family, I bet. What do you guys think? I mean, if you see, I remember he had that alt-right website. And he hasn't, and then he kind of got down on Trump, too, because Trump wasn't helping out. And then people like Stephen Miller, you know, he wasn't getting any support. So he just shut that website off, I think. And I don't know. I haven't heard from him for like three or four years. But I don't think he's a wealthy guy, you know. And then he can't fundraise. If the news, like, you know, multi-million dollar lawsuit, they'll probably kick him off of GoFundMe or whatever. So, yeah, I really hope they win.
Well, I mean, I would just say this Charlottesville civil litigation is a referendum on our free speech, and we should hope that they win. Yeah. We should hope that the defendants win.
Yeah, I mean, Roberta Kaplan is one of the worst people in the world. So even if you don't want to root for the defendants, you absolutely want to root against the other side.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right. Have a good night and happy Halloween, you guys. I'll let the other callers get on. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And we got a break coming up, and we'll be back on the other side with one more caller, last caller of the night. Last caller, last man standing on your Halloween night on Public Broadcasting Network.
Something much wiser than me is screaming out. And it's so much bigger than me, it's screaming out.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is The Last Man Standing with your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky, and Patrick Slattery from Burbank. And we are taking calls and taking names you can ask. James from Vancouver. James, what do you got for us tonight, my friend?
If they're going to do the Nazi thing in front of the jury, they're not going to win friends and influence their uncle, as it were. It looks to me like their agent provocateur is deliberately throwing this case to...
Certainly Chris Cantwell. I don't know about the other two. Do you know?
Yeah, but they're all going to be lumped together.
Yeah.
The jury is going to get terrified. And you see what I mean?
But it really only takes one to bring them all down.
Yeah, right. And so when they go down or one goes down, then the First Amendment goes down, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and this is definitely a show trial to try to set a precedent to squash our First Amendment, and not only against like racism, but against coronavirus protests.
Yeah. Just one question here. Is Roberta Kaplan, she's bringing the case to court. Is that it? She's the, on behalf of the plaintiffs?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. It says here, her spouse is Rachel Levine. Is that the same Rachel Levine that works for Biden and dresses like a woman? Is that the one?
Oh, God.
It'd be a different one.
It could.
You got to check it out.
How it could be. That would just be too much. That would cause a rip in the space-time continuum.
Well,
Rachel says here, a very common Jewish
spouse.
Name.
Yeah. Huh? It says here her spouse is Rachel Levine, and I guess that's a female Rachel, married 2005.
I think Rachel, the tranny, was still Richard Levine, the dude and the father of two, in 2005.
Yeah. Well, when I look his picture up, I see official portrait 2021, and maybe he's got lipstick on, but the hair's combed back, and he's in a Navy uniform. So I don't know what's going on here.
Clown world. Oh my God.
Wait a minute. Are we uncovering... Is Rachel Levine married to Roberta Kaplan? What the hell?
Well, check it out. I'll get back to you tomorrow or the next day. Thanks for taking the call. Bye.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.